Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
For the final time here at our Myrie campus, it's great to have the Turner family with us. So could you give Simone Turner and the kids a big hand? Pastor Corey Turner. He's been a great friend of Chrissy now and mine for the last 5 years or so. And Pastor Corey has been a great prophetic voice here in our church across the last 4 to 5 years. And across the last 12 months, they've recently taken on the leadership of Bridge Church in Melbourne. Bridge Church is the oldest church in our movement, which used to be the Assemblies of God, now the Australian Christian Churches. And it's over 100 years old, the church. But it's an incredible church. And though that church has an incredible history and a great legacy under Pastor Corey and Simone, I believe it's got an amazing future. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing about all the things that God is going to be doing in and through that church. And I already love that church, even though I've never been there. But Chrissy and I are speaking at that church in December this year. So we're really looking forward to just journeying with you guys ongoingly. But why don't we stand to our feet tonight as we welcome our Pastor Corey Turner as he comes and takes the stage. God was all over you in the front row, wasn't it? The Holy Spirit got you in the front row. I could see that you had your own encounter. It's going to be special. I feel it. I feel the anointing. I can feel it.
Tonight, Pastor Ken and I are preaching together.
I can feel it. Now, you can have my stage. Go for it.
Thank you. Well, what an honor. Stay standing for a moment. I really do want to honor Pastors Ken and Chrissy. They are truly a gift from God to this city, to this church, and to Simone and I and our family. We love them. We love their kids. And I'm just so grateful that 5 years ago, Pastor Ken invited me to come and speak at your church. And to see what God has done over the last 5 years in this house is truly extraordinary. Is it 15 years old, the church? So really, to be honest, if you've been a part of this church for 15 years and you've been nowhere else, what God's doing here, you see, well, this is normal. But the reality is your normal is not everyone's normal in the body of Christ. There is truly a significant move of God happening in this church, in this city, and you're a part of it. And God uses everyone, but God also anoints and appoints people to lead communities, to lead churches. And the reality is, without them answering the call, we wouldn't be here today. So can we just honor God and honor them? Let's put our hands together and just acknowledge. We love you guys. We honor you. You're amazing. Truly amazing. And we're so excited that now that we're leading a church again, they can come and speak at our church in Melbourne, and we're just wanting to build, you know, our long-term friendship, long-term partnership for the kingdom of God, to see God do amazing things. And the truth is, we're all going to be hanging out together for eternity, so we better get used to it. I say to people in our church when there's conflict, well, you better go and work it out, because we're going to be spending together in eternity together. So, hey, God has been moving all day. And I preached a different message in every service. And yet the funny thing is, I don't feel tired at all. I've actually been holding back a little bit, to be honest. Can I just see a little seat? I've been holding back. And who knows, I may just let it all out. I don't know. But I've been holding back. Because there's just, the 6 p.m. is just more anointed. I just think it's more anointed. I love all the other stuff, but the 6 p.m. is just, it has a special place in my heart. But from the very first service this morning at the 9 a.m., God spoke to me a really distinct word that He wants to give Nations Church a new building, a new property. And I heard it so clearly in worship, and I've been speaking it out into the atmosphere, and it's almost like throughout the day, faith has grown for this. And I just want us to come into agreement in prayer together that we're going to believe that God is going to release this to this house, and because I think you need it, because, you know, there's only so many services you can do in this venue, and you're growing and you're expanding, and it's not just this campus, it's all of your campuses. So I just feel like that God is sort of sneaking up on you, and he's going to sort of pleasantly surprise you with something that is going to really establish a new day for the church. So let's just lift our hands in faith and in prayer. And Father, we come into agreement with your word right now. Lord, so many times in the past, you've spoken into this house. You've prophesied the word of the Lord. You've spoken over people, and it's come to pass. And God, we come into agreement with your heart, your will, your intention for this house. That, Lord, you would give this campus, you would give this church another property, oh God. And that, Lord, you would release the finances. Lord, that you'd bring the unity, that there would be a will, oh God, in every person's heart, and so there will be a way. God, we just ask for you to move, and for you to move powerfully, for you to move supernaturally, for you to move sovereignly, O God, in this time and in this day, that in the coming 6 months, O God, Lord, that there would be a great report, there would be a great testimony, there would be a great breakthrough, O God, not just for this campus, but Lord, for every campus as they multiply and move forward. God, we ask tonight your blessing upon this service. I thank you, Father, for what you've done all day. I thank you, Lord, you've been building, stirring. I thank you for what you're about to unleash in this meeting, Lord, particularly over young adults in this room. Father, I'm believing and praying that you're going to raise up a new generation of leaders, of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, marketplace ministries, mighty men and women of God. Father, I just pray right now, come, Holy Spirit, and speak. Come and ignite our hearts with the fire of your Spirit. We're so hungry for you. We love you. We ask, oh God, that if your presence doesn't go with us from here, then don't let us move. We don't want to go anywhere other than where you're going and where you're taking us. So, Lord, I pray as we come to the end of this Sunday in October, God, the seal of your Spirit be upon this day, this word, this moment, that it would be a marker, oh God, in the prophetic destiny of this house, of what you are doing in people's lives and what you want to do in the future of this church. If you believe it, one more time, let's give Jesus all the honor, all the glory. Come on, come on, he deserves it. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. We honor you, we worship you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Go with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. Matthew 3, 11 to 12. I want to read just two verses. John the Baptist is speaking. When I was thinking about the 6 p.m. service, I knew automatically what God wanted me to speak about. And this passage of Scripture was highlighted to me. John the Baptist says this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Tonight, I want to speak to you on the subject of fire starter. I believe that God wants to start a fire in people's hearts tonight. He wants to actually start a fire, particularly amongst young adults. I was just standing out there, and I felt like this was a commissioning night. I felt like God wants to commission people. There are some services you go to where it's about, it's a teaching moment or it's a healing moment or, but I just feel tonight there's something on this service to commission people. And you cannot be commissioned apart from the fire of God. And so to start this and launch this sermon off, I want you to look to the screens and we're going to look at a clip from Castaway. There was more, but that's good. We'll work with that. You know, a fire in the natural requires three elements. You first of all need an oxygen-rich compound, you need a heat source, and you need combustible material. If any one of those three elements are missing, you're not going to have a fire. Just as in the natural, so in the supernatural. A baptism of fire requires three elements. You need Jesus. Jesus is that oxygen-rich compound. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, have it in all of its fullness, have it in all of its abundance. Wherever Jesus is, there's life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give us life. So wherever Jesus is, there's the oxygen of heaven. There's the presence of God. There is life. The second thing you need is a heat source. That's the Holy Spirit. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is fire. And the fire of God comes and cleanses, it illuminates, it purges, it does all these things, but you need a heat source. And the third thing is a combustible material. What's that? That's you and I. We've been designed to be flammable. We've been designed to be combustible. If any one of these three elements are missing, you don't have a baptism of fire. And it's interesting, as you read this passage, all three elements are present in the life and the ministry of John the Baptist. He prophesies that Jesus, the oxygen-rich compound, will baptize you, the combustible material, with the Holy Spirit, the heat source, symbolized by fire. Now, one of the things you need to understand, if there is a lack of fire in your life, the lack is never on God's end. Stop blaming God for things you are responsible for. The lack can never be on God's end, because if there was lack in God, He would cease to be God. Within the character and nature of who God is, there is fullness, there is sufficiency. So when a father with a tormented son brought his son to the disciples, and the disciples could not minister to the boy, they couldn't minister freedom, they couldn't cast the demon out of the boy, there was an argument, there was a disagreement. Jesus comes down from the Mount of Encounter, Mount Transfiguration, and He comes and He's asking, what's going on, what's wrong? And the Father says, your disciples, your church, couldn't minister freedom to my boy. And Jesus looks at them and says, oh, faithless generation, how long am I to bear with you? He was identifying that there was a lack in His church, in His ministry team, in His disciples. He ministers to the boy. The boy comes into his right mind, right spirit. And then the disciples in the back green room say, why the lack? Why couldn't we cast the demon out of the boy? Why couldn't we do what you do? And Jesus said, this kind of problem, this kind of issue only is resolved by putting a demand on fire called prayer and fasting. You see, in the kingdom of God, there's never been a problem with a lack of supply from heaven. It's never been a problem. It's never like God's like sending the angels out to search the back storerooms for, you know, get more fire because we're lacking some. Get more resource because my people are struggling with a lack of There's never a lack in the vaults of heaven. There's never a lack in the intention and purpose of God for your life. There's never a lack of supply. But I tell you what the problem is. The problem has been a lack of demand from earth. John the Baptist said, he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His ministry is one of fire. Think about it. When Jesus multiplies the loaves and the fishes, there were thousands of people all lining up, wanting a handout. Awesome. Jesus is going to feed us. Let's make Him king, because He's going to meet our material needs. So the thousands are there when He's multiplying loaves and fishes. But fast forward 3.5 years later, on the day of Pentecost, only 120 of them are in the upper room for 10 days putting a demand on heaven. It's always the minority that put a demand on the supply line of heaven. That's why we don't see more outbreaks of revival and fire across the earth, because there's been a lack of demand from earth. There's plenty of supply. Joel 2:28 says, I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. Meaning the Holy Spirit is available for every person who is hungry. Every person who believes, every person who's praying, every person who's seeking, seek and you'll find. Ask and it'll be given to you. Knock, the door will be open. It's a fundamental, basic principle of the Gospels, of the Word of God. There's more than enough supply. The issue is with a lack of demand. I was awoken in the middle of the night about 18 months ago, literally about 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the morning, to over the road, our power lines were literally on fire, right? I could hear this buzzing, not a really encouraging sound, right? And then I see the whole telephone pole go up in flames, like for reals. And I'm like, awesome, this is my burning bush moment in the middle of the night. That was my immediate thought. God is going to speak to me. So I run out there, right? Like this, I did that. I ran out there. Simone's asleep and all the kids are asleep. I run out there and I'm getting closer to the telephone pole and I'm waiting for God to speak like he did to Moses out of the burning bush. But all I could hear was this buzzing, burning things to a crisp sound. I realized I could get electrocuted right here. But here's the deal. I'm looking around and here is this flame. Here is these power lines. Here's the telephone pole going up in flames. And for a good 10 minutes, I called, obviously the fire department did the right thing after I realized God's not going to speak to me. And I call the fire department while we're waiting. 10 minutes goes by. Everyone's asleep. No one, the neighbor with that whose house is about to go up, no one's moving, right? And I realize, the fire's burning, but people are asleep. And it's like God was speaking to me saying, my fire is always burning. But only those who wake up and put a demand upon my fire actually will begin to live a life that's aflame for the presence of God. Revelation 3, 1 and 2 says of one of the churches, of the seven churches in Revelation, you have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains. I want to ask you today, I know you're not a dead church. No, you're the opposite. You're an alive church. But some of you right now are putting no demand upon the supply line of fire. What demand are you putting on God's supply? Why is it that revival is breaking out in Indonesia, filling stadiums and doing all sorts of things? It's the same Holy Spirit in Indonesia as it is in Perth. The culture may be different. Some of the political climate issues may be different, but it's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that was in Melbourne at our church today, where 54 people got baptized in water. They were texting me saying that at least a dozen of them got baptized in the Spirit in the tank and were being set free from demons, that they had to get more people in the tank to sort of, you know, help out. The same Holy Spirit that's in Melbourne moving in our church right now, seeing literally where we've seen, there was a medical doctor by the name of Evelyn, and she came to one of our campuses. And I found this out after the service. She wasn't a Christian. Her kids had been praying for her, brought their mum to the service, been through a hard life, but was obviously very qualified and skilled and knowledgeable in the medical field. And she comes down, was diagnosed with a cancerous tumor the size of a golf ball in her neck, which when she came down and I met her, I could see visibly out of her neck. She got saved that day. We anointed her with oil and prayed for her. 6 weeks later at our revival nights, she walks up with the biggest smile on her face looking different. And she walked up to me and said, I was a skeptic, now I'm a believer. And I said, I'm like, awesome, what's happened? She said, you know that cancerous tumor? She had a cancerous tumor in her shoulder as well, and you could visibly see it in her neck. She said, it's been confirmed by MRI. The doctor, I asked the doctors to test it twice because I'm a medical doctor and I wanted to be sure. They cannot find a trace of the tumor that's in her neck. We're seeing these miracles start to break out all over our church. The same Holy Spirit in our church is the same Holy Spirit here tonight. There's more than enough supply, and you've got your own testimonies and your own miracles and your own stories. There's more than enough supply. The issue is, what demand are you putting upon that supply? You see, God has promised He will supply the fire, but we have to become the sacrifice. We've got to be that living sacrifice that actually God burns up. You see, from Genesis to Revelation, fire is mentioned 400 times. And fire actually has become the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Why is it that fire is being used by God to illustrate and give us a picture of the Holy Spirit? Well, firstly, fire empowers. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The fire of God empowers your witness in your life and in the world around you. If you don't have the fire of God, you have no power. There's no two ways about it. If you find yourself, and we all wrestle at times with the fear of man and insecurity, we all wrestle with that. But if you find yourself living captive to the opinions of others, being intimidated by what will people think about my faith or my witness, you need more of the supply line of fire in your life. Because when the fire of God gets in people, one of the manifestations is boldness. There's this boldness that comes on us that just compels us to begin to live the life that God has called us to. Why fire? Because fire illuminates. In Exodus 13, it was the pillar of fire by night that led God's people when they needed a visible witness, a visible sign, a visible presence. It was fire that God chose to lead God's people. Fire not only empowers, fire not only illuminates, but fire cleanses. Do you know that in 1 Corinthians 3, it says at the end of the age, our works will be tested by fire? That's a scary proposition. We don't preach often about that. We don't talk much about that. But the reality is, everything you and I do is going to be tested. Is it gold, silver, and precious stones, that which lasts the fire? Or is it wood, hay, and straw or stubble that is burned up in the fire? This is not about your eternal salvation. That is taken care of when you declared the lordship of Jesus over your life and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're forgiven of your sin. I'm talking about the works of your life are going to be tested and cleansed and purged by fire. Wow. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but that sobers me up a little. When I'm considering doing something in my own flesh and my own strength, that which is birthed in my flesh is going to be burnt up. That which is led by the Spirit of God will stand the test of fire. You can even do right things for wrong reasons. You can do ministry. You can preach. You can lead others to the Lord and it all be self-motivated. And even though the fruit of that will stand the test of time, your actual work and motive for that, it'll be burned up. We've got to understand the fire of God and what He uses it for. In Genesis 22:7, Isaac asked his father, Abraham, Dad, we have the fire and the wood, but what about the sacrifice? And Abraham's like, well, God will provide the burnt offering. He'll provide the sacrifice, knowing in his heart what God had asked him to do. And yet God always comes through in providing a sacrifice for his sons. In every generation, God will find the sacrifice. In every generation, he's pouring out fire, but his eyes are running to and fro, looking across the earth for the sacrifice. Who is the person, who is the church, who is the individual that will sacrifice themselves on the altar so that my fire can come and empower them, illuminate them, and cleanse them? I remember when, and I've shared this story before, but when my wife and I and our kids, we moved into a Bible college for a year to try and save money to buy a house, and the second night in, the smoke alarm above our bed, 1 a.m. in the morning, goes off. And so I stand on the bed and I'm waving my arms around, the thing goes off, hop back into bed, I'm snoozing off to sleep, it goes off again. This time I get the t-shirt or whatever, I give it a good whack, a little bit more forceful, let it know who's boss, right? And so hop back into bed, and then you know what happens, 5 minutes later, it goes off again. And this time I'm sort of giving it a little whack, letting it know, this is the trajectory and where things are heading, all right? And I said to my wife, that goes off one more time, it's going home to be with Jesus, okay? So you know what happens? It goes off again. So the anointing of Samson came on me. And I just reached up and I just pulled it out of the roof, failing to realize it's connected to an electrical circuit to every other smoke alarm in the entire Bible college, right? Within 60 seconds, the angels of heaven are blowing the trumpets. In every room across the Bible college, smoke alarms are going off. My kids are screaming and wailing. Simone's saying, oh, you've done it now. And I sneak my head out of our dormitory door, and there are Bible college students in their PJs saying, who turned the smoke alarms on? And I walked out and said, I've got no idea. But when I find out, they're in lots of trouble. We ran around for the next hour. We're pulling smoke alarms out of rooms, and I just had to hit a button or two, but no me. I pulled the whole thing out. I go back to my bed. I lie down on the bed, and God speaks to me through all manner of things. And God speaks to me as clear as I'm speaking to you. And he goes, that smoke alarm is like some Christians. They make lots of noise, but there's no fire in them. And we're going to be careful that we don't make lots of noise, but we don't actually carry any fire. A Christian without fire is like a Collingwood supporter with teeth. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. You know why I knew that word? Because universally, everyone hates Collingwood. Especially in the West Coast. God created your spirit to be flammable. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. How do you catch on fire? You present your body as a living sacrifice. You know, every morning I wake up, start of the year, God said to me, a world-class ministry can't be sustained by amateur habits. What are you prepared to lay on the altar of sacrifice this year for what I'm about to do? You see, we want to go up in God, but we don't want to give up anything. You want more of God, but you want more of everything else too. That's not how it works. For something to live, something has to die. For more to be added onto your plate, you've got to take something that's secondary off it. You can't just keep piling on, expecting God to move. You've got to sacrifice something. You got to change. You mean I actually have to change my life and actually live according to a new rhythm for God to do more through me? Yep, you actually have to do it. You mean I actually have to hold my tongue and not bite back or not say back when I want the Spirit of God to be so present in every area? Yep, you've got to guard your mouth. You're not going to be perfect at it, but you've got to still try. You mean I actually have to get up earlier and actually press into God and get on my knees and pray? I mean, what a novel idea. Yep, you actually have to. Because the only way you catch on fire is you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And once you're ablaze, unless you stoke the fire of your spirit, it will go out. It's not a case of, you know, if, it's a case of when. It'll go out. And 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. You know, in Leviticus 6, five times it says the fire on the altar must never go out. There was an understanding amongst the priests and amongst the Levitical order and regulation of things that the fire on that altar must never go out because it's a living, breathing picture of the presence of God. God supplies the fire, but we got to keep it burning. We're going to keep stoking it. Remember youth camp when you had the campfire? May have been the Saturday night after the big encounter with God session or wherever it is, and you're there and you're looking across the campfire at that pretty girl or that pretty boy that you're just wanting to hold hands with, and it gets to that kumbaya moment and you're like, this is a holy moment, I think we should hold hands, kumbaya, and you start to sing and it's like Flirt to Convert, if you know what I mean, and it worked for me. So So you remember, right? You remember the campfire at youth camp. My wife's not on the platform. She can't respond. You're looking at that campfire. What makes the campfire actually burn and keep burning is not just fuel, it's space between the logs. If the logs are packed in too much, it suffocates the fire. Some of us have packed our lives with so much busyness, so much distraction, so much stupid phone. We call it the smartphone. It's a dumb phone. So much. We've packed our lives in. We're so distracted. We don't realize the fire of heaven is being suffocated in our hearts and in our lives. You have as much of God today as you made space for Him yesterday. So if there's a lack of fire in your life today, it's due to you not making more space yesterday. The more fire you want in your life today, the more space you need to make yesterday. The more fire you want tomorrow, the more space you need to make today. Don't complain about a lack of fire if you're not willing to make space. Because I have learned that the burning of the Holy Spirit, the slow burn of the Spirit only happens as I step aside. What did Moses do when he saw that fire, when he saw that bush that was burning and not consumed? The Bible says he stepped aside, and it was only as he stepped aside out of his normal routine that the voice of God spoke to him out of that burning bush. Some of you are waiting for the voice of God, but you're not willing to step aside. And God sent me here tonight to tell you it's time to step aside. It's time to create space. Stop packing your life filled with all of this good stuff, but you're missing the God encounter. You're missing the God moment. You see, the fire of God not only requires space, but the fire that God starts in you, He actually wants to start in others. The fire isn't actually about you and me. It's about people that are lost and that are broken all around us. Right near our church, as you've heard, it's actually 95 years old, birthed in a revival in a prayer meeting within a month after a few people praying in a prayer meeting, 1,000 people came to the church. That's how our church started in 1925. And there is this testimony and heritage and legacy of the fire of God. But do you know, literally outside our front door, just a few streets away, Chapel Street, Paran, Toorak, South Yarra, it all sounds wonderful and great, all the shops, all the glitz, all the glamour, but the reality is there are so many lost, broken people. And as I go down there and I just walk the streets and I pray and I'm looking around me, I'm saying it's awesome that we got this fire in our house. But God, the fire is not meant just for us. It's meant for them. It's meant for the people in your university, in your workplaces, in your part-time jobs, in your high school. It's meant for your neighborhoods. The fire can't stay just with us. The fire was intended for others. John Wesley was asked, how do you attract an audience? He said, get on fire and people will come and watch you burn. Benjamin Franklin would go and hear George Whitefield, the evangelist, preach. And he said, I could literally watch him burn before my very eyes. You see, there's something about fire that's attractive. People line up for people that are on fire. And the more that this church stokes the fire of the Spirit, makes room and space for the fire of God, don't be surprised if you do need to move to bigger buildings and you do have people lining up out the door and your auditoriums and campuses are filled, because the fire of God is not just meant for us. The fire He starts in us is actually meant for others. And the question I want to leave you with tonight was simply, was there a time in your life that you were more on fire for God than you are today? Was there a time in your life that you look back and said, I used to read the Bible like a crazy person? It's like 5 chapters, 10 chapters, 15, it wouldn't matter. I'm hungry for it. Or maybe you look back at your life and go, I used to pray like fervently, but I've grown tired and I'm busy, and now I'm serving, you know, the Lord of the ministry, but I'm not actually making time for the Lord of the ministry. So busy with ministry, I've missed out time with Jesus. When I stepped into this role at this church, and big church, lots of responsibilities, lots of decisions to make, I said to the board and I said to the staff, there is one non-negotiable. I will not put a meeting on in the mornings. I will not allow myself to get away from the one thing that matters more than anything, and that is time in the presence of God. Every day, every morning, I need time in His presence. I need that space. Why? Because I can't pass on to others what I'm not growing in myself. And I don't care what other people in the church think, or what other agendas or demands or expectations. Turn the email off, turn the phone off, turn everything else off. God, would you light a fire in my heart again? Would you start a fire in me? Because that fire that you start in me, you'll then start that in others. And tonight in this room, God wants to commission people, and He wants to start a fire in your heart. He wants to start a fire in your life. And I want to invite you to stand on your feet with me. And if you're here tonight and you say, God, the fire has been going out. It needs to be stoked tonight. I need to present my body as a living sacrifice once again. Here I am. Here is my life. Help me to reset again. Do you notice in your walk with God, sometimes you've got to hit the reset button? Yes. Sometimes I feel like I've got to hit it every day. Sometimes every week. Sometimes once a month. Whenever you need to hit the reset button, hit the reset button. Tonight, for some of you, you need to hit the reset button. And you just need to come, and you need to stand, and you need to just present your body as a living sacrifice. God supplies the fire. We provide the sacrifice. So as we begin to sing and as we worship, the team leads us on. Was there a time in your life where you were more on fire for God than you are today? Because if there was, then I invite you, why don't you just come right now and say, here is my life, God. Take all there is of me. Come on, why don't you come right now? That I can't contain, that I can't control. All across this room right now, I just want you to begin to build your faith. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray all across this room right now. Just begin to ask for the fire. We've been singing it. Begin to ask for it right now. Let a wave of prayer, intercession, just fill this auditorium. Right now, just begin to pray. Just begin to break out of that comfort zone. Break out of that limitations in your head. And begin to pray, begin to cry out for it. The 120 on the day of Pentecost prayed, they worshipped, they cried out for it for 10 days. Every believer, every church is only 10 days away from a Pentecostal revival.
You're 10 days away. What could God do in your life in the next 10 days? In the next 10 days, if you would seek Him, if you would go after Him, hunger, hunger. Keep praying. Come on, all across this room right now. God wants to give people tongues of fire right now. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you right now, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So right now, if you're hungry for it, just lift your hands. Father, all across this room right now, Lord, I thank you for the baptism of fire. And right now, I just pray, would you ignite hearts? Would you baptize, immerse, and saturate people's hearts with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that tongues of fire would break out in this auditorium right now, that, Lord, people who've been hungry and desperate but haven't had their breakthrough, I thank you right now in Jesus' name, tongues of fire are breaking out in people's mouths, on people's heads, and in people's hearts. Tongues of fire. Come on, let's fill this room right now. Let's fill this atmosphere with hunger for God, hunger for God, hunger for God. This is what the church is. This is what the church does. It begins with fire, and then we take that fire. Come on, let's keep praying. Let's keep singing. Let's keep believing.
I want to pray for you. Just reach out your hands towards this brother right now. Father, I thank you for this man. You've been in a holding pattern. It's like the command came through on the radio, on the plane. You need to wait at the gate. You're not ready to take off yet. And it's like you've been in this holding pattern. And there's something about your family or something about your marriage that God is wanting to launch it into a ministry in another place, another geographical environment. There's something that's on your family, it's on your heart, but you've been waiting and you've been waiting. And I felt like, it's like the voice of the Lord came and said, okay, you're not ready, you're not going to take off yet, but now you need to move from the gate to the runway. And I feel like you're entering into another stage and another season of your preparation for that which God has called you and your family to. Does this resonate with you? And God's put something on your heart. He's wrecked you and your family's heart for something, but it's like you're waiting and things are getting into place. But the Lord says, I've called you to it, and you are going to be a part of a great move of God in that place, in that city, in that region. I'm not sure where it is, something to do with overseas. But the Lord says, oh, okay. So, okay. So, Father, right now, I thank you, Lord, that you've called this couple. And it's like God is going to align you with a ministry that is going to be able to release you and help you to do what God has called you to do. And you've been waiting and you've been patient and you've been being prepared. But the Lord says it's not like imminent, like straight away. But it's almost like over this next year, something is going to open up and you sense it and you know it. It's like you've been feeling it, and it's like there is this unwavering confidence inside of you, but you haven't known exactly how or when, but God's coming and saying, I'm confirming something in your spirit tonight, and you are going to be a part of a great revival fire that is going to sweep that land. It's going to sweep that place. And so, Father, right now, we just pray right now in Jesus' name, that God, what has been birthed in tears would end in joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And the Lord says, the day is dawning, the sun is beginning to rise on your calling and upon your lives. And Father, I pray, let all the finances come into order, let the alignment of relationships come into order, let everything come into order of what you have for this couple. Come on, if you believe, and let's just thank God right now. Young man here with the hat backwards, you bro. Yeah, you. Would you just come here? Just come here for a sec. What's your name? Let's just extend our hands towards Jake right now. Just stay there, bro. Father, I just thank you for this man. Out of the insecurity of your past, God is going to make you a great man of faith. I saw you, funnily enough, I don't know if you even like this, interested, or have a grace for this, but I actually saw you leading worship. I actually saw you leading people in worship, and I saw this gift of faith in you and an anointing for miracles coming out of your life. And God is going to take the insecurity of your youthfulness, and He is going to do such a work in your identity that you're going to find that as you grow more and more into your 20s, that the fire of God is going to increase in your life. And people are going to look at you and say, what has happened to you? What has happened? There's going to come such an authority about you, such a confidence, such an anointing of the Spirit of God. Father, I just pray right now that God, would you go deep into this young man's heart? Would you fill him with your fire right now? Fill him with your fire right now. Lord, overwhelm him right now with your fire. Awaken him with your fire, the fire of your Spirit. I really believe God wants to commission people in this room tonight. And some of you have been really struggling around this whole thing of you feel called to ministry, and many calls have gone out from this platform. But it's like you haven't felt that release. And I feel like God is wanting to commission a generation of young adults. It's not just young adults, as clearly you've seen tonight, but it's what was on my heart was there were 18 to 30-year-olds in this room that it's like God's called you to this house because He's commissioning you to be that next wave and that next generation of planting campuses and planting ministries and pioneering. But He's also recommissioning people. And I just, as I walked past you, I felt like the Lord said, I want to recommission this couple. Could you just come forward? Just come right forward. Can you extend your hand towards this couple? The Lord says, this is your day. Mark it in your calendar. Where is He recommissioning you? He is recommissioning you. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that, Lord, this couple, this man and this woman of God will be set apart for the work of ministry to which you've called them. Lord, just like those in the book of Acts that were set apart in prayer and fasting, O God, for the work of the ministry to which you've called them, God, would you recommission them? You were commissioned once and you've been on that journey and it's like the twists and turns of life and ministry has brought you to this place, but could it be that this is what God intended all along? This is what God had for you all along, and He is restoring and recommissioning you in this house for what He has for you in the coming days. Father, come right now with the fire of your Spirit. Recommission, burn up. This is a day where He's burning up the disappointments of the past. He's burning it up. He's cleansing you of the disappointments and hurts of the past. And He's recommissioning you. New hope, new joy, new faith, new vision, new expectation upon your life and upon your ministry. Father, do it right now. Do it right now, I pray, in the name of Jesus. If you're a young adult in this room and you say, you know what? I just feel like I'm one of those people that I just feel like, God, tonight, would you commission me? Would you commission me? This is a commissioning service. This is a commissioning moment. It doesn't mean that tomorrow it all happens. King David was anointed with oil, but it took 10 years for it to outwork. But he could never doubt he was commissioned. He could never doubt that he was anointed. If you're here and you say, God, would you come and commission me with your fire? Just raise your hand right now, wherever you are. Just raise your hand. And I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for individuals in this room who, Lord, are acknowledging that there is a call upon their life. Whilst every believer is called, there are some that are called to that place of leadership and ministry, Lord, in your kingdom that's part of your church. And Father, there are people here that, Lord, are acknowledging that you've spoken into their heart, But Lord, it's almost like there's been this lack of a seal of the fire of God upon their life. And I'm praying right now in this room that God, this would be a holy moment for individuals in this room right now. That just like the days of old when Elijah would come and he anointed the next prophet, Elisha, and Samuel would come and anoint David to be king. Father, would you come through this prayer and through this prophetic act right now? And would you commission individual people with the fire of your Holy Spirit? The Lord says, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm sending you to nations. I'm sending you to cities. I'm sending you to regions. There is an apostolic call upon this house. I'm sending people. I'm sending you. Father, right now, would you come and anoint with fire, with tongues of fire, with the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit, individuals in this room for the ministry to which you've called them. Come on, one last time. Let's worship. Let's sing. Let's thank God for what he's doing tonight.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.